This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP, one-day weight loss structure, accountability, results. The standard for weight loss in the area at EMP1DayWeightLoss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Tuesday morning, May 22nd, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
And Johnny Cake Sawville.
I like the results from the Caps game last night to force a game seven. That's
very
what I
nice.
Like.
And we talked a lot about Holtby. Holtby pitches a shutout.
Shutout's
very
nice.
They desperately needed Holtby to make a couple big saves that he wasn't making the previous games. He did.
Well, his glove save with, I want to say it was about 12 and a half minutes left in the third period. It was, I mean, the word that comes to mind is masterpiece. I mean, he just snatched it out of midair. That thing was a screamer, and he just shut it down.
Looked like maybe the best save of the playoffs. Best save I'd seen in a while.
Yeah.
I thought it was just overall a total sort of team effort, almost a domination, but they had their moments for sure. But up and down the lines. And I just, to me, it was just a stark contrast. You could just see the effort that was lacking at other times. Not to say that they weren't trying, but this was like over the top. This is what you expect in an elimination game. And frankly, they need this to continue. If they want to win the Stanley Cup, they need to play like that.
I hope
that.
They have enough left in the tank for it.
They have to find a way.
Because the hitting... I mean, it's clear that Barry Trotz and the coaching staff just said, all right, boys, this is the do-or-die game. Hit anything that moves and hit it as hard as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's what they did
I think
throughout
Orpik
the game.
Had six hits. Tom Wilson, I believe, had six hits.
Well, they out-hit the Lightning by 20. It was 39-19. I mean, it wasn't even close.
DSP had five hits.
DSP is quickly becoming... one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite.
I mean, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year, so the Caps have the right, I believe, that the way that works is they can match any offer that comes his way. And he's not a guy who's ever going to be a superstar.
No. He's the role player guy you're going to love.
He's a guy that is physical and has some scoring acumen when he needs it. That's a guy that I'm going to, if I have a few extra dollars laying around, I'm going to give him to that guy.
Here's the thing. All you need to know about him is 7 goals in the regular season, 5 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he is
That's
a baller.
All you need to know.
I mean, his hit, I can't remember the Lightning player.
The one where they sandwiched the
also
player.
Also flattened Jay Beagle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a thing of beauty. I think my pants moved.
Beagle got right up.
Yeah, he
well,
snapped
you got
up.
To. You got to. There's no time for messing around. I really hated when they stopped play, when the two dummies ran into each other. That was really annoying to me.
Right.
What are we, all of a sudden we're protecting guys? What? This is some sort of, I didn't understand this, like some sort of Little League game? We had the puck, we had possession. All of a sudden, we're stopping play to care for two guys. Oh, you hit some boo-boos? You bump into each other? Oh my God, that really irritated
Gives
me.
It takes and steals the advantage right away from us.
Yes! I was like, what are we doing here?
By the
this
way,
is a
refs,
big boy sport.
Thanks a lot for the no call on the interference on Ovi when he was clearly taken out of the play. By the way, if you think the refs aren't swallowing the whistles, through games 1 through 4, 28 penalties total, 7 per game. Games 5 and 6, 4 penalties total, 2 per game.
Well, yeah. Caps took advantage of it. Oshie scores the first goal in the power play.
Yep.
You had a little traffic at Kuzi in front of the goal.
With a beautiful assist by Backy.
Yep,
had
Backy
two
finally made a play.
He's been playing well since he came back. I know not a lot of it's reflected on the final score sheet, but they desperately have missed him on the power play, and he came up big on it last night.
And Ovi was flying around, hitting people left and right.
Oh, he had an unbelievable game. I thought up and down the lines, everybody just played fantastic. I mean, how about that pass from Chandler Stephenson to Smith-Pelly?
Beautiful, from behind the net.
Right.
Smith-Pelly screaming in.
But to me, the biggest factor was Braden Holtby in the net. And he returned to form, which you had seen throughout the early part of the playoffs. The last 3 games, he hadn't played as well. Just all it is one or two saves, which are not necessarily expected, but you make it, and now you have a game seven in Tampa.
Got a game seven sweat.
Yeah. Game seven sweat. We'll open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067. It's murdering my sleep. Murdering all of our sleep. The people that wake up early.
I thought about this last night as I'm watching the game. There's no way that watching playoff hockey is healthy for you.
Oh, no.
It can't be healthy.
Kills you.
All it does is elevate your blood pressure, probably spikes your pulse. I'm drinking to try to numb any sort of pain that can be coming my way.
You drink the same amount every night.
Yeah, but that's self-inflicted. That's true.
I understand that, but don't put it on the caps.
Yeah.
Tonight's an off night. More. He's going to have three beers.
I might have an extra if it goes to overtime.
I actually made a point of not drinking last night.
He's in a box. He does the same thing every night.
Well, what am I going to do? Drink 10 beers? Am I going to drink 10 beers before I come in here at work?
But my point is, tonight's an off night. Will you have a few beers?
I might have a beer or two.
It won't change much.
Probably not.
It won't change much. I made a point of not drinking last night because I had too much the previous game. But luckily, I didn't feel like I needed it. I felt like they were in pretty good control. The way I watched the game, and again, I'm not that sophisticated. I can only see the overt, obvious stuff. And to me, it seemed like it took us a little while to get going. But about 10 minutes into that first period, then all of a sudden, I thought we really, really settled in and really started to dominate. And so I never felt like I had to go over to my friend Jack Daniels and start pouring these huge drinks.
Right.
I felt like we were in pretty good control. Now, even though it was only a 1-0 game, and that could turn at any moment, the score, in fact, doesn't reflect. Even though the Caps dominated, generally speaking, the score doesn't reflect how tight that game was until about 2 minutes left.
I mean, it was 0-0 after a period.
Well, even when it's 1-0.
One goal can just turn it.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. I never felt comfortable with the one goal lead. I was
a two goal lead with 5 minutes to go. I was telling my daughters, it just takes one goal, and the last 4 minutes will be sheer hell.
Sure.
Sheer hell. And I do think these periods go slow. They just go so slow, especially when you have the lead. But thank God they did it. They pulled it off. My only concern, and I don't want to be a negative Nelly, is can they duplicate? And they may even need to go further because you're going to get everything that they have in their next game. It's kind of like a golfer who goes out and shoots 63 on a Saturday. You know they're not going to shoot 63 again on Sunday, but are you going to be able to still pull it out? That's what scares me.
Well, Coach Trotz talked about the physicality, and we all saw it. Orpik, he actually got in a fight.
That was great. He was great.
You had Wilson, Ovi, Smith-Pelly, all those guys with just tons of hits. Here's what Coach Trotz said after the game.
Was there a concerted effort to be more physical tonight, and how much did you see kind of your leaders lead the way with that?
Well, I think all day I thought guys, our leadership, obviously you always point to Ovi or people like that, but I thought guys like Brooks Orpik and Oshie and Backe and those guys were very determined. They were going to make sure that there was no doubt that we were going to take this to a game seven. Really good energy, not only in our room this morning, tonight, great energy in the building. Fans weren't apprehensive. We gave them something to cheer about in Tampa, first period. I mean, there wasn't much happening. It was two teams going, nose to nose and butting heads. And finally we broke through with a power play goal. And it gave us a little bit of a bump up in terms of our play, and we had some zone time and able to capitalize on that after that.
Yeah, I mean, those power play opportunities come so few and far between at this point. I mean, it actually was kind of like a must score. You kind of had to score there.
Yeah, you have to savor those opportunities because they're not coming around a lot. And I would expect game seven would be more of the same of what we've seen in games five and six. Game five, one penalty. Game six last night, three total.
Right. Holpe, you can't win without Holpe's performance, but also you can't win without that kind of effort up and down the roster. I thought it was just unbelievable, and it does piss me off that we didn't have that in Game 5 or Game 3, but we just need to duplicate that. If they play like that, they can win the Cup.
Well, to me, Holpe was the absolute biggest factor. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, because it is a scoreless game through a period, and if he allows one of those goals and Tampa gets a lead, not to say that Tampa had some good chances.
Definitely. It's not like they didn't have chances. They had some good shots.
I saw a replay of a shot that went about, I'd say, 8 inches wide
right.
of the goal, and it just went by Holtby, luckily not behind him.
If Tampa converts one of those opportunities, which Holtby stopped, and the Caps are chasing, it's a totally different game.
Absolutely.
Cooper has talked about it, too, that his team plays better in the lead and vice versa. The Caps play better in the lead, and Tampa, when they're chasing, they're not as effective. Here's, by the way, what Cooper said kind of about the intensity and how his team responded in a game six.
Winning three in a row and clawing back into this series when, as I said, we were on life support, maybe it's taken its toll on us, and maybe we exhaled a little bit. But I will tell you one thing. I've been so proud to coach this group over the last 5 years, and every time they get pushed against the wall, they push back, and it's been awesome to coach them. And now we're being pushed again, and it's time for us to push back.
Yep, that's what gets me nervous.
I would expect a more physical brand of hockey from Tampa Bay in Game 7, much like what you saw from the Caps in Game 6. They're going to play that way in Game 7.
And the Caps have to match it or go beyond it.
Yep.
And that's the challenge right there. But you can't, and we've seen it in years past, you can't just out-hit them. You can't just out-shoot them. You can't just have great goalie play. You have to have all of it. You really do. And it's going to take all of that
in
Game 7.
Could we be due for what Cakes was calling for in Game 6, which is the Ovi explosion? Oh! Because he hasn't found the back of the net. Well, I guess he did right at the end of Game 5 when they were going 6-on-5.
It would be amazing.
It'd be great. It'd be nice if you could, get up to a nice three zippy lead early.
What about an Ovi cruise. Hattie to send the Caps?
Look at that.
What about That'd an be storybook. Ovi Hattie?
Look, I'll say this:
if
all the
Ovi
criticism.
Has a Hattie, I'm going to send my wife out of the room and say, "I have to take care of myself."
Yeah. Oh, don't send her out of the room.
No. I need some time with the replay on TV. I'm going to apologize and say, "Look, I need a moment." If that happens to propel the Caps to a Stanley Cup final, yeah, that's going to happen.
I'll say this. A couple weeks ago, everybody was about Penn BC.
Yeah.
They're unfair to the Caps. They're Jock Ovi. They were. I really believe they have no choice.
Talk about Sidney Crosby when he's sitting at home.
I don't think it's a bum rap. I mean, the Milbury stuff is legit. There's just no question about it. You just got to watch the history of his comments. Now, maybe some of the criticisms were valid, but the fact is he was particularly hard on, I think, Ovechkin for years.
Yeah.
For years.
Pierre was kind of gushing over DSP last night. Pierre McGuire, who, by the way, was an assistant coach on one of the Pens Stanley Cup winning teams back in the 90s. I must always point that out for the people that don't know or have forgotten. But he was kind of gushing over my guy, DSP.
All right, let's touch the people. 800-636-1067. We want to hear from Caps fans. They delivered a win. Now, some Caps fans are still skeptical and are predicting kind of this as a tease. Yeah, they'll win Game 6 and they'll blow it in Game 7.
Well, it's not written already. I mean, that may happen, but I mean, who knows? They could just as easily go out there and play like this and skate it with all this momentum going into the Stanley Cup Finals.
My wife asked me last night what my confidence level was.
Yeah.
Now going in, 51-49 Caps.
Because
I think it's kind of a toss-up.
A slight lean.
The Caps advance to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'll take 55-45, but I'm basically with you. Yeah. You can't feel like you're the overwhelming favorite. But if they play like they played last night, I mean, clearly, they deserve to win.
The Caps have proven they can win in that building.
Yeah.
They've done it twice already in this series.
Yeah. And also, on the flip side of Holtby playing great, Vasilevskiy didn't play his strongest game. I heard some of the announcers clubbing him. Hmm. Hopefully he's leaky in Game 7.
He was on point for about a period and a half.
I thought he was pretty good.
I thought so, too.
I didn't think he was so bad.
I can't remember which guy said it after the game, but I'm like, okay.
And I didn't buy into he was playing incredible. I mean, he was mediocre the first couple. And then I guess he played pretty well there for a few, but I didn't feel like he was going to just completely shut us down.
I didn't think he was awful by any stretch. I mean, he gave up.
I thought he was pretty good.
He gave up
a
power play snipe to Oshie that was put right on his tape by Backstrom, and he gave up basically a breakaway on DSP. Mm-hmm. I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah,
Caps just took
DSP advantage. Scored 5-hole, right?
Yep.
Well, he cut. Or I thought he went behind
him. Down.
He went
between five
legs. Whatever it was, I was, when I watched the replay, I was like, is that where he aimed it? You know, it happens so quick.
Yeah.
You know, or is he just firing it?
5-hole. 800-636-1067. We'll come back, take your calls. How are you feeling about the Caps? They get the win, 3-zippy last night. Game 7 in Tampa tomorrow night, which you can listen to right here on The Fan. We'll talk to Chris Russell, our Caps insider, at 8. Alan May on the Caps at 9 o'clock here on The Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Braden Point comes in. Pocket pick. Another great player from Devontae Smith-Pelly. And this will be a foot race. And Colburn getting there but negating the icing. Great hustle from Stevenson in front. A shot. They score! They score!
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106. Some of the fans celebrating the Caps 3-0 win against Tampa last night. As we talked about earlier, the physicality was there throughout the game. 39 hits compared to just 19 for Tampa. They also outblocked them. All of kind of those intense statistics.
And those hits,
they were in favor of the Washington Capitals last night.
They got to add up throughout that game. You think when the Caps are buzzing and just crushing you against the glass like they were last night, that doesn't carry over into the next game.
Yeah,
it was awesome
to see.
Those boys are nursing a lot of bruises and war wounds in Game 7.
I think he is sore delivering the hits, too, though.
Oh, yeah, both guys. Both
okay,
guys pay
that's
the
true,
price.
But I'd rather be the hitter than the guy that's getting crunched
of course.
By the Caps.
No
I
doubt.
Get it.
No doubt.
But look, Ovi the captain, to me, he's leading the way, too, because he's out there hitting. He had 4 hits in the game, also had 4 shots on goal. He didn't find it in the back of the net. But luckily, they did get a power play, and they converted on the power play, whereas Tampa had 2 power play chances, and they snuffed them out. So maybe the penalty kills come around a little bit.
I hope that's
for the Washington Capitals. Valdez,
can you play the second cut we have of Trotz talking about this is the team, and I agree with him 100%, this is the team you have to have in Game 7.
I don't think there's a team that I've ever had that I would want to go into Game 7 with. This team has done a lot of special things this year. It's grown. It continues to do that. And what an opportunity to go to Game 7. Going into Tampa. We've won on the road. We've won at home here. We'll see if we can keep, you know, earn the right to keep playing.
Sounds great. And I think he is sincere. But I'd be curious to play the clips of Barry Trotz after Game 6 last year when they beat the Pens. When they were down 3-1, came back and won 2, and then had Game 7 at home.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm sure they're very positive, and he's talking about how this team is resilient. We were down 3-1 to the Pens, defending Stanley Cup champions, and we've come back. And then they laid an egg.
Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to predict the future, but you can't. Those feelings weren't wrong last time. It just didn't necessarily translate. I do think this team is particularly resilient, and they've showed it ever since they were down 0-2 in the first round. But it doesn't mean that they're going to, you know, advance. But I do think this team has showed an extra quality that we haven't seen from previous Caps teams. Even if they lose Game 7, I don't think it takes away. They've bounced back numerous times. Now, it'd be nice to bounce back one more time, but there's no guarantee. I think that this game was an absolute nail-biter. The 3-0 score belies how close it was, even though we dominated the hitting, we dominated the blocking, we dominated the shots. It was still a freaking nail-biter. And I think the next game, I think Game 7, is probably going to be along those same lines. And it's going to take every bit that effort, if not more, to pull it off.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Want to hear from Caps fans? Caps, of course, force a Game 7 against Tampa in Tampa. How do you feel about it?
All right, let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to Chris in Norfolk. Chris, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Good morning, Junkies. It's awesome to hear the Junkies on the radio one game away from the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep.
I want to talk about, Cakes, you were talking about you need that explosion from Ovi. I want to bring up a couple of years ago, I remember they were in a regular season game playing in Tampa, and Ovi was skating pregame warm-ups, and the goalie was chirping at him, and goalie looked at him and just went, I'm going to have a hat trick tonight. And he put three goals in on him. Mm. So when you challenge the captain, he rises to the occasion. He said it yesterday, and you could see the look in his eyes when he said, this is the biggest game of my career. This is what we play for. And I think going into game seven, I think they carry the momentum. They play good on the road. I'm not worried about it. They're going to go in. They're going to keep up the intensity. And I think that he's going to have an incredible game, and he's going to push his team into the finals.
I hope you're right, man. I don't have the same level of confidence that's for sure going to happen, but I know they're capable of it.
He knows this is his greatest opportunity, maybe his last really great opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. This is it.
This is his legacy right here. They say it about a lot of sports, but it's true. It's a game of inches because there are times where deflections go in, like we saw the one from Kuzi a couple games ago. And then there are times yesterday, Ovi had a great deflection, just didn't happen to go in.
Well, also,
Ovi was barreling towards the goal, it seemed like, more than usual.
He did everything
more
than usual.
He just decided, like, I'm going to just try and go in. And he got snuffed out a few times trying to go in.
That toe track's kind of annoying to me because it's pretty. But, I mean, I don't know. When was the last time that's really worked? I don't know. But that's the thing also that irks me. And I hate to be such a jerk about it after a great win. But why didn't we see this effort in Game 5? Why didn't we see this effort in Game 3? Why was there no sense of urgency? This is how you have to play in the playoffs. Every game has to be like that. And what scares me is that we're not going to have it for Game 7.
Although I heard Trot say that, generally speaking, I mean, you could maybe pluck out a period and pluck out that first period from the game, but that the team has played kind of the same way throughout.
Yeah.
Sometimes the results are different.
I haven't felt that. I haven't seen – that was the obvious difference last night in the hitting, in the block shots, in the way we were skating. The intensity level of that game was different than all the others. Sorry, just was, in my mind. Let's go to Jay in Fredericksburg. Jay, what's up?
What's up, Josh? How y'all doing?
What's up, Jay? Doing great.
Yeah, I was I'm kind of agreeing with EB right there for as far as the last night's game and game 4 and 5. There just wasn't any real intensity. I didn't feel like it. It just looked like they were happy to make it to the finals and win a couple games and kind of make it a series. But towards the end of game 5, you could see a little bit of desperation and intensity.
Right. And that's why I was a little optimistic because you saw
it carried over.
Yeah, you saw a little of that at the end of the game 5 and said, okay, this will give me a little hope.
Yeah. And even without a win, as long as you're hitting, I'm going to be all right. Like, let the Lightning remember that they had to play the Capitals to get to the Stanley Cup, you know. And, right. and that's what I saw a lot of last night was if y'all get a puck in, we're still hitting the crap out of you every single time.
Right, right. Yeah,
They dominated game 4, though.
They did, and they just were on
the
wrong side
of it.
But they did, but it wasn't quite the same level of intensity. I agree with you. They dominated the game, but they lost puck luck and all that other crap, but I didn't see the exact. That level of intent. That was what the best game I've seen all year.
If they dominate physically in Game 7 like they did in Game 6, they're going to win Game 7. If they replicate that performance and somehow bring that to Tampa, they're going to the Cup Final. Now, I'm not guaranteeing anything. This is not a guarantee by me. But if they play the same brand of hockey and Tampa Bay doesn't respond physically,
I think the Caps
are going to win.
They're going to have to even go a step further because they are going to respond. You have to assume you're going to get the very best that they have.
You're going to get their max effort at home.
Yeah.
Got to win again in their building.
And they tweak their lines.
They'll cheat forward a little bit. See, like Trotsky even said in one of the breaks, you know, we're going to be aggressive here. We're going to take some chances. We're going to cheat forward a little bit. We're going to try to make them earn it. So they're going to do the same thing. Let's go to Lee, Baltimore. Lee, what's up?
Hey, guys, what a game last night. The key to this is they hit everything that moved last night.
They did.
They've got to play with the same intensity. And I tell you what, in the third period when Tampa Bay was on the power play, it looked like we were playing super shorthanded. We fired more shots on them.
Yeah, that was a good little sequence. Yeah.
Yeah. So if they play the same way tomorrow night that they did last night, they're in. Take care, guys.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it.
I think the intensity is needed, but, and I'll say it over and over, to me it comes down to the goalie play. Because if you think about Stamkos, for example, has had some great power play goals. You had Holtby snuff it out last night.
Well, Holtby also
and
made
not
a...
all of those are expected saves.
No.
He made high danger area saves last night.
He got lucky on a couple too. I mean, great plays,
sure.
But like, you know, like that one skate. You know, I mean, it was like an inch. It was, maybe by an inch. He got there that pad by his skate or whatever. Got there by an inch.
Yeah.
You know, and in previous games, that had gone in. And
right.
You're a split second behind.
Sometimes that's what it comes down to. Vasilevsky led a five-hole goal to DSP, which a lot of times the Caps have had other opportunities throughout the games, whether it was Connolly, whether it was Ovi, where they've had breakaways, and Vasilevsky stopped it.
More than
in that case, he had quick pass.
Yeah.
DSP puts it right in there, five-hole. The guy's pads are closed. It comes right back out as a rebound.
DSP made a great play.
Right.
He knew where to go with the puck in
a
split second.
That's the biggest factor. We always talk about it. Every year we always talk about hot goalie. It is the biggest factor in hockey. If Holtby can deliver another game like that, they will win.
Please, God, I don't pray a lot. Give us all the puck luck in Game 7. Please, look out for the good guys. Send the Caps to the Cup Final with some puck luck and a great all-around effort like we saw in Game 6. Kind of excited for Game 7. I needed to be here ASAP. I'm not going into it all scared and apprehensive.
I'm not
going to do that.
I kind of am.
Not doing that this year.
I'm kind of scared and apprehensive. They definitely can do it, but I'm scared and
apprehensive. I'm used to the disappointment, so I'm kind of going to be even and then allow myself to go up. To go down, what's the point?
Yeah. I don't know.
Used to it.
Hockey, more than any other sport, kind of you're alluding to, you can dominate and lose more than any other sport. You know, fluke goal here or there. So everything has to go in their favor. I think it's more than just great goalie play. They got to get great goalie play. They got to get great scoring chances. They have to capitalize on the scoring chances. We have to get a little lucky.
And they have to be way more physical than Tampa Bay, like we saw
last
night.
We have to beat the poop out of them.
Man, and you know what?
It's going to take a complete effort.
If Stamkos wants to collide with one of his teammates again during Game 7 or five of his teammates and knock each other out of the game, that's fine with
that's
me,
fine.
Too.
Just don't blow the whistle and stop play and go nurse him.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let them crawl over to the bench and deal with them there.
By the way, their head coach seems like a nice guy. I hate the fact that he's chomping gum all the time.
It's nervous energy. It's like me eating Honey Nut Cheerios off my chest.
I don't care about John Cooper. I don't care about that guy. I hope they lose 8-0 in Game 7.
Right.
I will care less about him.
I will say that after Game 5, I was so discouraged and so down because, again, I said it a million times, and annoying people, I'm sure, but the nonchalance I saw on the ice, and it just changed my – and I just was just so down. I mean, even though I thought they would win last night because I thought they would respond, I just hated that effort. When you see an effort like
that,
it changes my whole outlook on the series. I'm like, I'd be okay if they play like that. And lose Game 7,
you can live with it.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, you can't.
But I would not be okay if they had that effort in Game 5.
If they have a dud, we'll come in and kill them on Thursday.
Yeah.
But if they play the same way they played last night,
then I'm okay.
Wednesday, and lose like a 4-3 squeaker,
that's hockey.
No, I'm not going to come in and murder them.
I agree 100%.
Let's play clip 3. This is what Coach Trott said about the turning point in the series, if there was even a turning point.
You're up 2-0, and all of a sudden you're down 3-2. I mean, those are the things in the playoffs that can drive you absolutely crazy because it's a bounce here, maybe a goal there or a call or something that could change a series. And we've been really, really focused on don't let anything change it. Just focus on the next event, whatever that event is, you know, a face-off, a power play, a penalty kill. Let's just focus on the inches in front of us and not, you know, the yards and the miles ahead of us. We just got to, you know, climb the mountain, if you will. And when you're climbing a mountain, it doesn't happen very fast sometimes. It's just got to, you know, take a step, take a breath, take a step, take a breath. And I think we've been able to do that and keep it in the moment.
By the way, I was beside myself when they swallowed the whistle on the interference call.
Right.
Yet. Jay Beagle, with the most innocuous hooking call I've ever seen, he goes to the penalty box. I said out loud, this is an outrage! Because it was. It was a bit of an outrage.
Did you scare your dogs?
No, nobody was scared. Sometimes I will have outbursts during the Caps games. It happens from time to time.
Right.
And that, I couldn't believe the refs blew their whistle on it. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was real life that I was watching.
Mm.
But it was. It happened. It really happened.
So I'm looking at the ice time, and Burakovsky, you know, was back in the line. But he only played 7 minutes. Yeah, he wasn't out there that much.
For the 7 minutes he was out there, he was pretty impressive. He had a breakaway that went high over top of Vasilevsky. I thought that for the 7 minutes, he got a lot in on a 7 minutes.
I didn't feel the same, but I know others did. Brett Connolly was only in for 8 minutes. Smith Pelly only in for 11. I thought he made his presence felt. For sure. All right. It's just so interesting when you look at that. I thought Backstrom might have had maybe his better game, maybe his best game since coming back.
Had two helpers, critical assist on the Oshie power play goal.
Yeah.
They gave him a helper on the empty netter.
Yeah, that counts too.
Definitely.
Of course it counts. You're not going to take that away just because it's an empty netter.
I know. I'm just saying.
Right.
Counts just as much.
I can't. I wish for the life of me, I wish I could read these heat maps. All the nerds.
I see them all the time.
I can't read the heat map.
We need Neil Greenberg to help us read the heat map.
I honestly can't read his help there. I look at the heat maps, and I'm trying to get excited about it, and I can't read them.
All right, we'll be talking Caps, Lightning, Game 7 all day today. Of course, tomorrow is Game 7, which you can listen to on Game 7. But there's another reason to be excited if you're a DC fan. Are you psyched for Soto? We'll get into that next on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be joined by Chris Russell, our Capitals insider, at 8. Alan May from NBC Sports Washington will join us at 9 as we recap Game 6 with the Caps winning 3-0, advancing to a Game 7. We'll preview that matchup with both of those guests. Wanted to shift gears, though. Yesterday, we spent a little time talking about the Nationals, who have just been snake-bitten with injuries. You look at the lineup, catcher, you have a backup. First base, you have a backup. Second base, you have the backup to the backup.
Backups.
Daniel Murphy out, Howie Kendrick out. In the outfield, you've had several players go down, whether it's Adam Eaton or Brian Goodwin. And so it got to the point where they had so many injuries in the lineup that they did what they didn't plan on doing, which was calling up their 19-year-old prospect, Juan Soto. And Juan Soto is a guy who hits left-handed and just ascended through the minor leagues faster than anybody expected, but barely played even double-A ball. What was it, 9 games?
Something like that. They had just recently promoted him.
And first at-bat starting, now he did have an at-bat on Sunday, and he struck out, but his first start against a left-handed pitcher, which they, you know, wanted to play him mostly against right-handed pitchers, but since they're facing two lefties, back-to-back, they decided to play him yesterday. First at-bat, 3-run homer. Goes 2-for-4.
First pitch, hit of the air to deep left field.
First pitch,
back goes Caesar.
Field.
It's way back. It's going, going. It's gone. Goodbye. A 3-run homer to the opposite field in left center for 19-year-old Juan Soto.
So, by the way, I saw that Robbie Erlin, the pitcher, just got abused at Nats Park in the 2 starts that he had before yesterday. Valdez, why didn't I come in and you say
this is always the better's
hindsight 2020? Why didn't we just bet it all yesterday?
You said the same thing though about Max Scherzer, bet it all. You would have lost it all.
Yeah, but
that's
But I knew that Erlin stunk and he's in a terrible spot in his 2 appearances at Nats Park before yesterday. I think his ERA was like 16.3, and it probably only got worse with yesterday's performance.
He's going to be a phenom, only the second player to do this for the Nationals, the other being Bryce, and he becomes the youngest player that the Nationals have ever had to hit a home run.
By the way, he only had 31 at-bats above Class A before yesterday, before being called up to the majors.
Hey, look, when you're legit, too legit to quit.
Yeah, I guess why wait? Especially when you're ravaged by injuries. Bring him up.
I mean, there haven't
got.
Been many, but Ken Griffey, I believe, went straight to the majors, right? No minor league play. There have been a few.
Yeah.
I feel like the kid.
I used to know that stuff.
I feel like the kid didn't play in the minors.
I used to know that stuff. I've forgotten all that. I do have the list of the last 5 guys Soto's age or younger that have hit bombs. forgive me for this one. This guy's been in the league for a few years, but he hasn't really done that much, so I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly. Jurickson Profar, is that how you say it? He was 19 and 195 days in 2012. He had a bomb. But the other four guys, pretty studly. Adrian Beltre for the Dodgers did it in 98. Andrew Jones did it for the Braves in 96 when he was 19. Ken Griffey Jr. did it when he was 19 in 1989. And Robin Yount did it in 1975.
I'd say it's solid company.
When he was 19, yeah.
To be mentioned with.
Major League Baseball, I guess they have their own rankings of prospects, and Soto is ranked the 15th best overall prospect in all of baseball. Pretty damn good. The quote is, he has the makings of the middle-of-the-order hitter and a potential batting champion. Well, he's got that
Griffey
combo.
Did play in the minors. I'm sure it was very brief. But there's actually a pretty long list of guys
that have done that. Well, maybe now with college, but the guys that make that leap from college.
Yeah, because this is in alphabetical order. The first guy that comes up is Jim Abbott, you know, the one-armed pitcher who did play for Michigan
right
before. So
Dave Winfield?
Winfield's one of them. Yeah. Maybe I should punch up high
school. Bob Horner, I believe. Was Bob Horner another
Bob
one?
Horner.
For some reason, that name jumps
Silly
out at me.
Chan Ho Park.
Yeah. Yeah. I think recently there might have been a few more than... Back in the day, it was like Dave Winfield, Bob Horner. Those were the answers to the trivia question because there weren't that many. But still, I mean, the point is he was hurt last year.
Those
right?
dudes are so old. They're
and he's 19.
Like Trivial Pursuit card questions. Outdated.
But super exciting for the Nats and another, Mike, you got to give Rizzo and his organization props. I mean, for identifying talent and just digging. I mean, they still have Robles, who everybody's excited about.
Yep.
Who's hurt. You know, if he wasn't hurt, it would be him that we'd be all talking about.
Right.
So, it's just done, a remarkable job stocking
this organization
with talent.
And it was pretty cool to see
the
kids at the Nats Baseball Academy in the Dominican responding to Soto's dinger. You know, guys that he obviously came up with and played with. Those guys are going nuts for that highlight. They loved it.
The other thing that's cool... When you talk about Rizzo, is Mark Reynolds hit another home run.
Yeah, another one.
That's just to pick up. Look, you had to pick somebody up. Zimmerman went down, and as we said, there's so many guys, particularly offensively, who are out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have some injuries on the pitching front, too. But in terms of hitters, to just pick up a guy who wasn't doing anything.
It's stunning.
Available, he's got
three
home runs now.
A guy with 280 bombs or whatever he had is just sitting there. Guy who had 30, 98, and hit like 270 or whatever he hit.
Yeah.
He was just sitting there. No one was really interested.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Have you seen Jason Wirtz actually balling in the minors?
I saw that the last 2 weeks or so he's gotten hot.
Yeah, he's hit a bunch of homers.
Yeah.
I think hitting for a good average.
Yeah, good for him.
Forgive me for not following minor league baseball.
No, it's not that you're following it. It's been written about.
Yeah, it's just like it's like a Nats note.
But
right.
It is something that I've been curious of.
Yeah.
You're kind of curious how
that
going.
Opted to move on.
Yeah.
And... Now they've got these young guys who eventually are going to be, hopefully, the stars of the future because one would expect next season, we'll see what happens to Bryce Harper, but Harper, Daniel Murphy, and others, some of these vets that have been carrying the team for the last couple of years, they're probably going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need the Juan Sotos and Victor Robles to be legit.
Right.
And so we'll see, but definitely joined some rare company there. For guys that barely play in the minors. Because deep down, they would love to do that plan where they bring them up, like, next May.
Oh, yeah, they didn't want to do this now.
Have, like, an extra year.
Of course, they didn't want to do this now. But the guy has been performing. And it just shows you the talent and the ability.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's obvious. They say even BP, I mean, it's crazy. Some of these guys are just special. It's a different sound. You know?
That's what they say.
And it's true. It's true.
Ooh, tasty matchup today. The Nats get to face a guy with an 8.1 ERA, Eric Lauer. I think Matt Lauer might throw the ball better. He stinks. 8.1 ERA.
Well, let's see.
You know, how's your daily fantasy baseball career going?
I've slammed the brakes on it.
Yeah.
Well, because you're in the middle of the Caps playoff sweat.
Yeah, Caps playoff sweat.
You don't have any
I don't know
else.
Anything about baseball. How can I do well at DFS baseball? I know nothing about baseball.
But I know that you do it anyway.
Sometimes I do it because I'm desperate and I need to sweat. I'm desperate like the Caps were last night with
right.
their backs against the wall. Sometimes I just need that to get me through. But I've slowed down on it.
Right.
And I can't do one game NBA sweats. That's just stupid.
Everybody has the same lineup. Are you kidding me? During playoffs? Stupid. Can't dabble with that.
I'm not even paying attention to the NBA playoffs right now. I'm so engulfed in this. Was there even a game last night?
Of course. LeBron scored 44, I believe his sixth.
I can't 40 believe
point performance this, in the playoffs.
This is the least I've ever paid attention to the NBA.
I'm glad
I've never
that you're
paid
punting
less.
The NBA during the Caps playoff run.
Oh, I'm just,
I appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm sick of the product.
Well, also, this round
sick
has
of the
been
Wizards.
One of the least competitive rounds.
Blowout city.
I think the closest game, maybe it was last night, which was, what, a 9-point game?
Nine, yeah. It looks like 111
or
102.
Do you like 30-point bloodbaths?
Well, I think the night before it was like 39 points or 41 points, whatever it was.
Because if you like that, then the NBA playoffs, this round at least, they're for you.
So now they're tied at two. All right. So both have won at home. Is that what's
correct.
Happened so far?
Celtics haven't lost at home this whole series. But
hey, EB.
They just, look, going into the series and then watching, you know, I didn't watch that much of the game last night, but watched part of it last night during intermissions. They just look outmanned.
EB, dream the impossible dream. If the Caps make the Stanley Cup final, you can ignore the NBA finals, too.
NBA finals extends beyond. Always.
Yeah, I mean, when the Caps ultimately pack it up and they're done and they start playing golf, I guess I'll pay attention because what else is there?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've literally seen every Shark Tank episode.
Hopefully that doesn't
times.
Happen for 2+ weeks for the Caps.
Do they ever change their mind on a product when you rewatch it?
Well, if they come back, well, sometimes you forget who bid on it.
Right.
You do forget sometimes.
Hey, who got in on the Ring video doorbell? Because that apparently
well, they all passed.
Everybody passed?
Yeah, that was the bid.
Nobody got even a little taste of it?
No, I can't remember. I think maybe the valuation was too expensive or something.
I think Kevin O'Leary reinvested after.
Later?
After he realized they're a big silly.
Yeah.
I think Shaq has a big piece of that, or had
good,
a big piece.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Get equity in the company. That's what you want.
I saw Shaq pimping a new product the other day. That guy is in so many commercials.
Well, why wouldn't you be?
I would see Shaq is selling one of his homes for like $37 million.
Yeah, it looks like a resort.
Does it?
It looks like I've been in the Dominican Republic. It looks like one of those places that I went to in the Dominican Republic, which has infinity pools. And,
yeah,
you know what? It's just, if anybody on the planet should have a $37 million home and it's just one of many, it's Shaq.
Yeah.
That guy's probably worth $500 million.
He should be. Apparently, he's been brilliant, you know, off the court, too, with
good
his investments.
Him.
Yeah, great for him.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. Juan Soto hits his first home run. The 19-year-old teenager as the Nats approved a 25-21 beating San Diego yesterday. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.